Only weeks to go before the election, we get an update from Neil de Beer, the president of United Independent Movement, a party in the multi-party charter. Welcome, Neil.
Very good morning. A few days to go. A few days to go, Kristen. This madness, this jostling, this lying, this promising is over. And then hopefully people like me can get into Parliament to get stuck in so that we can change the trajectory of this country for a better future. So yeah, good to see you. Good as always to be on your show.
May we start with the MPC? How is it holding up?
It's holding. You know, Chris, I saw some flabbergasting scenarios of people speaking and saying it's collapsed, it's over. Absolute rubbish. Utter rubbish. I'm a man that doesn't waste my time. I don't mince my words. If something is not conducive or is not constructive, I'll leave. I'm there. In actual fact, I chaired the last one of our leadership MPC every 2 weeks. We have our differences. We are allowed to have our opinions. And it is our right as individual parties to continue raising our own manifestos, our own ideology. But the fact that the MPC has collapsed is utter rubbish and nonsense. We will keep on going. We get over it. We debate it. The leaders that are sitting around that table are not children. We know what we are facing. We are not the alternative hope to this country. We are the government in waiting. And that is a fact. So we chastise each other. But Chris, we also motivate each other that we stay the course and that we continue moving together to forge a government for the people, by the people, and indefinitely for this country's future.
Neil, what do you make of the latest Ipsos poll that gives the ANC 40.2, the DA 20.9, the EFF 11.5, and MK 8.4 percentage of the
vote? A poll is like a casino, you know, you put it on red or black or one green. I must tell you, I did not always put relevance to polls because I think sometimes they're biased and sometimes they work on emotion. But what we now realize, Chris, is that continual polling from different segments in actual fact creates an algorithm. So that is important. We can't just write off polls. We've got to look at it because they are, may I call it, snapshots of opinion. And I'm saying that you can see the algorithm starting to move, that no doubt the ANC will not get 50 plus one. And you can see that MK Party, after its third victory in court, is absolutely gaining momentum. But I think the scenarios of over 12 and 13, 40%, I think it's a bit much. The DA is constantly staying by 20 and above. I think that's where it would average. Parties like myself, the new kids on the block, we're looking for the 0.8, the 0.9, the 1%, the relevance being the 1% so that we've got membership in Parliament. But the poll, I don't think it's far off. I don't think, though, 40. I think they're going to scrum it between 42 and 44.
Neil, now in a rather dramatic development, MK has expelled Jabulani Khumalo, the very man who registered the party on behalf of the former president, Jacob Zuma. Do you have any inside info on that?
Ete Brutus. I was always told that the enemy outside is absolutely known, but it is the enemy inside that will put that dagger. So I've been in politics actively now 3 years, and boy, the daggers are out. That confound butter. So I'm not surprised. You cannot compete on the platform of Umshalozi. Jacob Zuma is not a person that allows his platform of charisma to be intimidated, questioned, or to be taken over by anybody. And I think that was just the setting crack. I think not the last, by the way. More daggers coming out, or as he says, Umshiniwam. So, I'm not surprised. I think they are working. Remember, they are a revolutionary, RET, fundamental liberation idea. They're a cousin of the ANC. And my point of view is we mustn't be surprised if more leaders fall by the wayside. There's one leader in that party, and that is Jacob Zuma and the people around him.
Well, Neil, meanwhile, the Patriotic Alliance of Gayton Mackenzie has taken two more wards in the Western Cape. Do you think the DA will be able to hold on to the Western Cape the way it's going?
No, emphatically no. You know, I'm a person that is a student for the art of war. I love that. I come from war. I'm a ex-soldier myself. May I now say a veteran? But I'm looking at this and I'm going, what a strategy from Gaitan McKenzie. Hoss, my bro. I mean, look at the strategy, okay? So, sorry, I might not sit around the fire with Gaitan, and I exceptionally don't always agree. But I'm now giving you an analysis of a combat strategy that has now been dealt with in this Western Cape by the Green Machine. So Gaitan, what they did is they decided that the metro area, may you call it Cape Town Metro, Cape Town Metro in their relation to a battle is the fort. But they decided they are not going to attack the fort from the inception. They would land a couple of shots, but they are not going to focus on the fort because they will approach that last. Now, the battle strategy they have done is they have absolutely decided to fight in the rural areas of the Western Cape first. Good battle strategy. So they knew that they will be absolutely defended if they were to go to the rural areas by the populace of the rurality. So they struck in Beaufort, they put their nest egg down there, they capitulated that and turned it into their fort. No matter if you say they collapsed or not, they've got agents there. They then 100% seized the West Coast. They went for a full frontal attack. They used that little girl. Yeah, they used it, Jocelyn, as a propaganda machine. And they went for it. And they struck at the heart of the West Coast, which is obviously DA. They then started piling them there, moved then to the next objective, which was right on the opposite. So when the DA and the people went and covered there, they went to the right opposite and they went to the area of Knysna. So while they were putting the battle plans down here, fighting to still occupy the middle pen of Beaufort, they attacked Knysna, which was on the south coast. They then overtook it and are now swelling down and going from the Knysna to the George to the Mossel Bay. So their strategy was to hit Saldanha, plant absolutely over there in the Beaufort, hit the south coast, and now, without a doubt, you can see them moving down like a slick of oil, and their final methodology of attack will then to bring the pegs of the tent together and then attack that unilaterally. What a strategy. And at this current moment, the DA has to realize.
And in the latest winds, Oudtshoorn and Swartland.
The oil slick is moving down to the Cape.
In how many ways did the DA not drop the ball in the Western Cape, Neil?
Well, you know, I'm in partnership in a multi-party charter with him. You know, I say my say. I think John understands that. I made it very clear publicly last night and last week, this rumor mongering of the DA having to look maybe at a possibility if we don't get 50 plus one to work with the ANC, and that rumor going on and the denial, I understand it. They have to deny it. I'm categorically very clear. The United Independent Movement, which, by the way, plays a pinnacle role behind the scene in many areas, we are clear. We will never form a government, no matter what, with the ANC or the EFF. Then we go it alone. We cannot sit with this country's fiscal, economical enemy. It's just not going to work. So I'm clear on that. So we differ. But here's the analysis. The analysis is, in my opinion, they got it wrong in the Western Cape. They woke up too late. They did not realize that the enemy Trojan horse themselves inside. So here's the analysis, Chris. Number one, they absolutely stood up and took side in an Israel-Palestine conflict, maybe without knowing that the Muslim vote, the people that follow the faith of Islam within the Cape area, within the Western Cape area, is huge. And that surprises me that they missed that intelligence. Now, they couldn't have. But I think they made the fact that they would overcome it and that the Israel-Palestine scenario would blow away. It won't. It's been there 75 years. And in the latest one, they got a slapback. Like, you can't believe. So that's the one. The second one is, may I call it the colored, the indigenous revolution that has stood up. You know, Chris, the colored community, which I have always been involved in, which since my struggle days, the days of Anton Franz, the days of Alan Boussac, the UDF, you cannot undermine the fact that the colored community of this country has always been set aside. In apartheid, they were too black, and this democratic dispensation, democratic, they're too white. It's wrong. That revolution of the brown child has exploded for the DA at the wrong time, at the wrong moment, and they cannot curb it. So people like Gayton, people like Fadil Adams of the NCC, the Patriotic Alliance, they're not sitting on the buy side. They're stirring. And obviously they're a political party. So they will be capturing this colored, this indigenous, this brown child revolution, which, by the way, the time had to come. They had to stand up. It is as simple as that. And the DA, in my opinion, are overwhelmed. They do not know how to now curb this fire. And it's burning, and it will continue to burn until, I would say, the election is passed. And then it will start 18 months later again to take over all the councils that they can in the 2026 election. The DA, one, strike Israel-Palestine, misread the colored revolution. And thirdly, it's very difficult to be the government of the day and then defend yourselves on all these fronts simultaneously. So I think I'm very interested in the battle nationally. But Chris, the Western province, the Western Cape battle, I am absolutely intrigued to see what's coming. I think a coalition government is coming.
Now, talking about coalitions, despite the repeated denials by the Democratic Alliance that it will go into a coalition with the African National Congress, what are your predictions?
If, Chris, you've got to understand,
if the votes go the way it's predicted to go.
I'm giving you an analysis as a person. I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to Parliament. I know it. My little party, yeah, is going to get seats in the National Assembly. We are not contesting the provincial ballot because we want to go national. I've been around. I've been 55 years. I've been in and out of government. I understand what's coming, both sides. So I'm heading to Parliament no matter what. In Damutesin, then you are going to see some lightning and thunder. But put that as it may. So I've got no massive ambitions of governance. If the MPC wins, which we pray, I will be part of that government. If we lose, I will be the most formidable one-seater, two-seater, or five-seater in that parliament. You know it's coming. But here's the analysis. So I've got nothing to gain by saying left or right. Here it is. If I was the DA, just put your cap on, I would do it. I mean, anybody that sits here and says that a party that is so eager, border desperate at times to govern, have been in parliament now for 30 years, no matter the format it's taken, as the DA, and it wants to govern, Chris. It wants to have the opportunity to run the country. Now, your question is, do you govern at all cost? Now, if you go down the shall we govern at all cost, then they must talk to the ANC, because relevance, if the MPC does not get 50 plus one, they want to govern, they will have to talk to the ANC. They have no choice. The other options is what? And now, if you may, I would like you to, at the end, let me explain the three factions that have now appeared in this country. That's interesting. But let's talk DA, ANC. They have to talk, Chris. And if they're not talking, they're dumb. I'm now talking as a person that would have been in the DA. You have to talk. This is politics. This isn't, INJC Harvest and this Maysnook. What a lot of rubbish. You're in the net. You're there. You know, you watch across the bow. And if you see them catching the snook, you pray they move and you in. This is called governance. So the DA is trying to, in my opinion, because the constituents doesn't want it. It's not the time and the day to say, voila, we're talking. It's no. Did you make the call? So, you know, you've got to keep the back door open. So in my opinion, they will talk to them. They will have to keep the fires burning, because if the MPC, by no matter of its own or the readiness of this country to move, fails, I'm telling you that the DA wants to govern. So they will have to talk to someone or remain in opposition. Now, I'm not saying it's happening. I'm just saying my personal feeling as an ex-person that was in intelligence, not IQ, intelligence. So I'm saying that might happen. If it doesn't happen, fine. But here's a eureka moment in a thing which an internal ANC person told me last week. The statement he made was so simplistic, but yet so relevant. He said, just remember, Neil, the African National Congress is not fighting this year to govern. They're fighting to survive. Now, Chris, listen to that. They are not fighting to govern. They are fighting to survive. Now, let me tell you, that is a different fight than a fight of arrogant governance. They're fighting to survive. And when this animal is fighting to survive, make sure it will take any platform to remain steady and to remain government. That's my opinion. Sorry, Chris, I'm not telling you anything the people don't know. I may be just saying it, like always.
Let's talk about those three factions now, Neil.
Oh, it's very clear. You can actually see it. You know, I'm part of it. I'm in that fight. And people ask me, but Neil, what 3 years, you are in three metros, you're now going to national government. What is your contribution? And here it is, Chris. It is very clear. The United Independent Movement will be the party that will keep them all accountable. Viciously, without fear, we will keep them accountable. So I want people to realize that. I will be the little pebble in the shoe. I will be the rhetorical hard voice in parliament that will tell them all, no matter what side they are, that they stole or that they rang moer, gaat ek vir hulle moer. Jy moet nou mooi hoor. Now, hear me clearly. Jy hoor my. It's as simple as that. You have the MPC. You have the multi-party charter. It's the ACDP, it's the UIM, it's the Freedom Front Plus, it is the DA, it is the IFP, and an amalgamation of other parties that are sitting there. We're about 11. Not all 11 are contesting this election, but we are there. So you have the MPC. You now have the awakening of the true belly of the beast, what we call the RET faction. That is now your EFF, your MK, and the little dog hound running around of the Ice Magashulis and the petty hyenas on the prairie, sitting there and now formulating the RET cloud. And then you have the ANC and its cabal. This is where we are. So you have the three-factional break, 31 days relevance to go, 30 days, and you have the three clouds coming. Here's an interesting question. MPC, RET, ANC. What if every single one of them, a third, if you look at them, 33, and a third, what happens now? The ANC doesn't get 33 and a third, it gets 42. The RET faction gets 26. The MPC gets 34. Not one governs. So there you sit with the most interesting, unbelievable, yes, and exciting 2024 election, which Neil de Beer will tell you today, it's too close to call. And the question is, whom of those three are going to have coffee with whom? Except I know they're already having coffee.
Neil, let's talk about voter turnout. I don't think the ANC's ability, logistical ability, can be underestimated. And it has been a concern that at the end of the day, they could still bus in enough voters. What's your opinion on that now?
Yeah, I hear my statement has gone viral. It's good to hear. Some statements do go viral. Some of them not the right ones. But the statement I made that the ANC does not do politics, they do logistics, finally has now gone absolutely national, because it's true. So it's not the capability of an educated political manifesto or a debate to the masses about the trajectory of their fiscus or the intention to increase GDP. They don't get it. They do logistics. While we write out and talk about King Volume 1 and 2 and 3 about corporate governments, they dealing out T-shirts and hitting Kentucky. So 28 million registered to vote in the last three elections, the kind of algorithm of percentage loss of registered voters is about 40%. So if you look at that, it is our opinion that only 18 million of the 28 million will vote. If you take the 18 million as a possible, because of the algorithm of the past three elections, it could be 30 because of the, I think, urgency and the marketing of this election as one of the most important elections since 94. So there might be a variant. You might get more. But on average, that's the loss. So if 18 million people go to the poll, the ANC needs 9,100,000 without a doubt to become government again. I think it's about 3 million more required this time than the last round that they had to have. So very interesting. The ANC knows what they need by hook or by crook. They know. They are under no illusion. This is their last throw of the dice.
Neil, I have a question from a viewer. Hopefully you can answer it. If anarchy breaks out after the elections or during the elections and the ANC does not get to the majority it needs, could it not declare a state of emergency to stall transfer of power or to stall the formation of a new government or a coalition government? How could that scenario play out?
Well, it's ZANU-PF all over. I mean, we have a huge appetite on this continent to remain in power and to remain in power no matter what. I think South Africa is in a different position. I always tell people that when I was in the services of state security and understanding security, one of the things people must never forget is when they say we will turn into a Zimbabwe. Well, we have. We just have one thing, though, Chris, and I want to make that statement today. The reason why I am not always so fearful that we will turn into uncontrollable anarchy is you've got to remember that we are not the DRC and that we are not Zimbabwe because of only one reason, and that is our strategic point and our harbors that are based in the most southern tip of Africa. People don't know that. So the most strategic defense weapon of the Republic of South Africa is its actual position geographically. So no one knows that. I know it. I had to know it. So if this country has to go into a civil war, if this country has to go into a state of emergency where the will of the people are not followed, and every remedy has been done through the court process, we will go to the ICJ. And this time, not for a reason that they went. We will go to the ICJ to defend the Constitution, the freedom, and the liberty of this country. The UIM, if necessary, will take that lead. But here it is, Chris. The world cannot afford this country to go into instability due to the fact that the crisis in the Middle East is of such a nature between Iran and Israel and all the other parties that are taking side, that the only route, should the Suez Canal shut and should their total logistical transport nightmare of the globe close, the only route from one side to another is South Africa. And therefore, the world will and will have to defend, like it or not, this country's freedom and liberty and stability. There, breaking news. First time ever. So I'm not fearful that we will run amok. I'm fearful that this democracy, and I've said it again, Chris, and again, I said the question I always ask is not who's going to win. It's not, is the ANC going to get 50 plus one? No. That's not been my question lately. The question I'm asking lately is, what if the ANC loses this election and they don't want to give over power?
Neil, just in case you and I don't speak again before the election, what are your final thoughts as we are hurtling towards a historic call by the people of South Africa?
Yeah, Chris, I've got grey. I think I was a little bit more younger when I entered politics. I'm a little bit more greyer and I don't brush the hair anymore. I just buff my head. I'm also a grandfather, so a new title. And I want to start there. My grandson, Aiden, is now the fundamental reason that I am giving it all, that I will continue this battle until the end and until I understand that this country is free. I want to end off by saying three things, Chris. We have an absolutely exceptional, beautiful country. We just have bad management. Number two, the real asset on a business point of view is not the calculus of our assets of uranium, gold, diamonds. The real asset of this country is its people. And lastly, politicians are not going to ever be the solution to the problem of this country. The people are. If this country, its people, no matter the brilliant intelligentsia, the unbelievable leadership and the promises and discussions, the politicians are not the hope of this country. The people are. And the people must wake up to the fact that if they unite, once again, if they get up and follow the principles of the Springbok rugby team, who united this country without the politicians, that the hope of that rainbow nation, the hope of the most mighty country on this continent, and yes, in the world, will come through. But it is up to us. We must get up now, put everything aside, race, religion, bigotry, and everything else that divides us, and bloody unite this most stunning, gracious country of South Africa. And that's my prayer, and I'm willing to fight for it every second of my life. Amen.
Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of United Independent Movement, speaking to BizNews. I am Chris Steyn. Thank you, Neil.